Hi, I'm Michael Senoff, founder and CEO of HardToFindSeminars.com. For the last 5 years, I've interviewed the world's best business and marketing minds. Along the way, I've created a successful publishing business all from home from my two-car garage. Now my challenge is to build the world's largest free resource for online, downloadable MP3 audio business interviews. I knew I needed a site that contained strategies, solutions, and inside angles to help you live better, to save and make more money, to stay healthier, and to get more out of life. I've learned a lot in the last 5 years, and today I'm going to show you the skills you need to survive.
Hi, it's Michael Senoff with Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. The title of this interview is called Why Even IRS Agents and Small Business Administration Officials Attend Art Hamill's Business Buying Seminars. Want to learn from someone who is a master at buying businesses? This is an essential listening interview for you if you're in business today. Arthur Hamill may be the best expert on how to buy a business successfully. Art Hamill has bought over 200 businesses in the last 40 years. He started way back in 1960 with a small 25-unit motel in Modesto, California, and took all of his time and energy and money and started to buy multi-million dollar businesses that required almost none of his time, energy, and money. Art Hamill has since shown tens of thousands of other people via seminars and his own unique home study course how to do the same thing. Believe it or not, you can buy a business, even in today's economy. In fact, business buying expert Art Hamill says he likes to buy businesses during recessions because owners are more motivated to sell, which could mean easier and more profitable deals for you. And in the business buying interview, you'll hear exactly how to make the recession work for you. According to Art, one of the biggest mistakes you can make when buying a business is complicating the process. If you follow his plan, you won't need extensive knowledge, fancy concepts, or even research about your market. Tens of thousands of people, including IRS agents and small business administration officials who were made to go in order to be promoted, would flock to his national seminars, sometimes dropping a couple thousand dollars just to make it there. His training program was the top-selling number one business buying seminar nationally. Be a fly on the wall as you listen to me interview Art Hamill about his amazing story. I know you'll enjoy this interview with the true master on how to buy an existing business successfully. Now let's get going.
99.9% of the stuff that you know about business is absolutely a lie. And as I tell you that, if people get the cassette, take the information that they don't believe and pick a few business owners that they know that are successful. And ask them who's right. The people that have been whining to them or me. And you'll find I'm always right. Why? Because I've been doing this so long. I've owned 200 and some damn businesses. In the last few years, most of the businesses we have purchased are between 5 and 10 million.
All right, we're talking to Art Hamill. I said I'm always on the lookout for marketing courses and for new stuff for the people who visit my site. Tell me, how long have you been doing this in generally? What do you do? How do you get into it? And what's the program that you've been marketing for all these years?
I started in business over 40 years ago. So I was involved in business. As a matter of fact, I got in the real estate business because I was talking to some friends of mine in real estate. We were building restaurants. Somebody was talking to me and said, are you selling any of your business? I said, yes, I am. I said, how do you sell a business? Because I didn't even know how to do that. And they said, find a business broker. Well, I couldn't find any business brokers. And what happened is they said, get a real estate license, you'll run into them. Well, I didn't run into them because at that time there were very few. And it's interesting because a couple of years later, I ended up teaching a course that many of the business brokers today, merger and acquisition people, got started in. But it was not my intent to teach. It was just that a lot of people were coming to me and asking me questions about business. They wanted to get involved. They said, why don't you teach a class? And I said, my God, that would scare me to death because I'd never even given a speech or a talk.
How old were you when you got into your first business?
The education part?
Yeah.
Over 40.
So before then, what were you doing up until your 40s?
Buying businesses. I had worked for companies like IBM, and that's how I got to California. They transferred me from New York. And I lasted about an hour after that, and I quit and started in business. Actually, I went into consulting business in the beginning. And then my fantasy because I took over as a general manager for a place down in Santa Cruz. Was to have my own place. This happened at the resort, and I ended up buying a Mickey Mouse little 25-unit motel. So freeway had passed by, so I was basically one of those mom-and-pop persons out there with a torn T-shirt, cleaning the pool. And it just so happened that somebody came by that was selling franchises, and I also broke my arm, so I couldn't do anything. And about 3 years later, we had 25 companies. But they weren't startups. These are companies we had purchased from somebody else. The original person was a movie-type person that had stopped by selling franchises. And with that, we went into selling franchises with a company called Continental Marketing Institute. And from that, the franchises we were selling weren't doing a good job of promoting the products, so we ended up buying the parent companies.
Well, what was the franchise that they were selling?
Well, the main one we had was a thing called Burger Barn. We had Buck 49. And we had another one with a barbecue franchise. I can't remember the name of it. It was from Tennessee.
So you owned that motel, and then you met somebody, and you kind of got into the franchise business.
We had 25 businesses about 2 years later. I had four businesses that I started. It was interesting about it. I was so tied into businesses, it didn't even dawn on me as a business, because later, as I was giving talks around the country, people that knew me from school would listen to me, and they'd hear me say that I got started at a certain time, and they'd always stay afterwards to remind me, were you also in business back when you were going to college? And I said, no. They said, yes, you were. What do you think you were doing?
What were you doing in college?
Oh, everything from selling newspapers. I ran Sunday and daily newspaper stands at Penn State, which is a very big business. But we also had a book shipping business. I was also in the newspaper business there also.
So you were probably born very entrepreneurial. What about as a kid, like when you were 7, 8, 9, you know, teenager?
As a matter of fact, I never thought about it, but yes, I was. I can remember having a movie projector that didn't work. And what I would do is I would run the Western movies to it, this little rickety camera. And the kids would pay me a penny or something like that. I know, but I've never talked to anybody about that. This should be embarrassing, but, you know, at my age, who cares? You know, we're talking about a lot of startups, but the thing I always try to stress with people, it is more difficult to start a business than to buy an existing one.
Tell me why.
Well, the main reason is the money, because what happens is if you go out and start a business from scratch, you really can't borrow any money. Number one, nobody wants to lend it to you unless it's mom and dad. And if they do lend it to you, the problem is you can't pay them back because you have no profit. If you go out and buy an existing business and buy it for a normal market price, you can finance almost the whole thing. And again, I don't want to give people ideas that we're talking about 100% financing. We were teaching nationally. All the real estate programs are talking about nothing down real estate. Well, in business, you don't have nothing down. There's a difference between 100% financing and close to it and nothing down. I don't think I ever remember meeting a seller with a normal good business that would let you in with nothing down.
They're going to want something.
It's not that they want something. It's them. If you have enough cash flow, you can finance the whole thing. So the seller, in almost every case, leaves with almost all cash.
Let me ask you this. If I wanted to buy a business, and it's always been interesting to me, but if I wanted to look for businesses that are being sold, besides going to the newspaper under business opportunity, which there's so much BS there, where would I look? Where would one look?
That's terrible. Now, years ago, we used to go to the newspapers in... There's usually one newspaper, maybe L.A. Times, and maybe San Diego paper, which had a few in it. We used to then look in the Wall Street Journal on Thursday, but what's happened in the last 10 or 15 years is the Internet. And if you go on the Internet, you're going to find more businesses than you'd ever think you'd ever want to buy. What you have to do is know how to approach them. And what we try to do is educate people to the point where they buy something good. In other words, take your time, buy one making money, don't be conned by what the brokers are going to be telling you, because the brokers are going to lie to you, the seller's going to lie to you. And what we basically teach is nothing magic. What we do is we take this mystery called a business purchase, and we blow the smoke away, blow all the garbage away, and you look down, you'll be able to see what it is you're getting, and you buy it. In fact, we taught for 15 years. We sold those cassettes. We put together a one-hour program in Los Angeles in the studio. Two of us did. The other person was not in business. He was a well-known talk show host. So we sat down together, and the day before, we talked for 2 hours. He knew nothing about this. We sat down in the studio in Los Angeles, and 1 hour later, after they had started to roll the film, we were finished. We didn't make one mistake for 1 hour. We then ran that on a major shopping network a few years ago. Between 3 o'clock, the shopping network would go off the air at 3 o'clock, and from 3 to 4, they'd run it. Now, you can imagine what happened to me all over the country. They kept seeing me in the airport, on the streets. You're the guy, I used to have a mustache, you're the guy with the mustache. They couldn't remember my name. But we sold these cassettes, and we worked with the person that owned that. They're still a billionaire.
How many were you selling?
We were the biggest selling product they ever tried to use. And I don't remember the total amount, but we ordered them, I remember, 1,000 at a time. We had 1,000 in the order, and then we'd ship them. But tens of thousands of the damn thing. Keep in mind, in 15 years, we had 100-some thousand people go through our program. Also, one thing I wanted to mention, in 15 years of teaching nationally, we never had a complaint ever filed, never. Now, I'm not saying people didn't come along and were upset, but I grew up in the old days, back in the East Coast, where it was known as the customer was always right, and I still believe that.
Yeah, if someone has a problem with you, you give them their money back, for whatever reason.
Why irritate them? I know, that's what we've always done.
So, do you have a lot of success stories? I bet you do, with the successes of people who got your course, and they went out and bought a business.
We had so many success stories, we couldn't even put them all together, because at one time, in Northern California, I also had a weekly TV program. We also had a weekly radio program. And then also, when I'd be like down in Los Angeles, KIEB, I don't know if you knew Clay Schwartz.
No, I don't.
He has his own radio station now down in the business. I forget what number it is on the dial, but every time I would go down there, I'd be in L.A. every couple of months. I would take over his show for an hour and a half or 2 hours, and I would be the talk show host. And I would bring people in that were success stories. And we got fantastic results. Now, there's a lot of success stories out there because we did something else that nobody else did, and this has to tell people whether it works or not. Nobody else has ever offered to help a graduate succeed for no charge after the program is over. This is what killed everybody that tried to compete with us, because people would say to them, well, Hamill will help us for nothing. No, we can't do that. Well, people would come to me and say, does this stuff really work? Well, it must work or we'd be out of business. And people would say, well, does everything work? I said, well, occasionally we have something that doesn't work, but it's not going to be in the program next time. But we haven't had anything since 1984 that we had to change. We worked out all the bugs and all the great creative thoughts. I had a, boy, this is so great. Let's teach this. And nobody could make it work. We have 800 calls an hour to the office on that, so that would come out in the next one. But we removed the taxes, but we also removed the ones that were either too complicated or people couldn't make them work.
You kept it simple. So tell me, when someone goes through the course in a couple minutes, what is someone going to learn from this course? If they're clueless, but have some clue about business and maybe have thought about that they want to buy a business or is it a good idea to buy a business, what are they going to learn from your take?
Okay, first of all, people used to come back and tell us all the time, it's like a brainwashing thing, because some guys would try to go out and do something, the wife wouldn't buy it or the grandmother wouldn't buy it. They would have listed tapes over and over and over again. A lot of people would put them under their pillow at night. Because what happens is a lot of things in there we teach on financing, finding businesses, that people have a tendency not to believe. Because here's what happens in the business world. When you go out, you, your mother, whoever goes out to get an education on business, it's always from somebody in business that's failed or is failing. Because a person that does well in business is not out talking to the public. A person that does well in business doesn't complain to his friends. I mean, I'm not going to go to you and say, God, last month was bad. I only made $100,000. So what happens is you hear all the people that are whining, they're complaining. So by the time you hit a certain age, you're in your 20s, 99.9% of the stuff that you know about business is absolutely a lie. And if I tell you that, if people get the cassette, if they take the information that they don't believe and pick a few business owners that they know that are successful and ask them who's right, the people that have been whining to them or me, and you'll find I'm always right. Why? Because I've been doing this so long. I've owned 200 and some damn businesses. In the last few years, most of the businesses we have purchased are between 5 and 10 million. If you go around and talk to business brokers in San Diego or L.A. or whatever, or any place else in the country, you're going to find that's the level of business we buy. They net between a million and 2 million. The price is 5 to 10 million. In fact, 2 years ago, we just finished in Mexico. We had 17 companies. And I don't even speak Spanish. I also am not very brilliant at running companies because we leave the management in there. And if you do that and you pay them well, guess who doesn't call you? In fact, if you buy a business that makes over $250,000, our general rule is the manager will be paid enough that he or she will be irritated if you ask them to call once. Why have them bother you? Because if the money that they're going to be paid in a business that size, they have the ability to run that company, and you can be an absentee owner, because unless you don't want to be hands-on, unless you're letting somebody else manage the company under your supervision, you're never going to own more than one company. And let me tell you something. Owning a business and being hands-on and having the secretary come to you in the morning and say, oh, God, I can't come in this morning, my kids are sick. Who the hell wants to hear that?
I think that's one negative that people think about. Well, do I want to buy a business? They don't want to be caught up and be a slave of the business. So you're saying that you can teach people how to buy a business and be an absentee owner and structure the management where they're not bothering you and you are basically absentee.
A large percent of the people that went through our program not only bought a business but had multiple businesses. We had companies come back in and analyze that. So what happened is you own multiple businesses. But the key thing is when we first started years ago, people were buying businesses making $10,000 a year and whatever. We started at $50,000 and people thought we were nuts. About 2 years later, we moved it up to $100,000. As we were finishing up a number of years ago, we were up around $200,000. Today, we keep telling people, minimum $250,000 net.
Means don't buy a business unless you're making $250,000 net.
That's $250,000 after you pay a manager. In other words, if you're an absentee owner, you should be making $250,000.
Net, after taxes.
That's right.
Perfect.
So you think this is a great, large business. It isn't. It's a small piece of junk, and they're not worth owning. Let somebody else own them. So what happens is we encourage people to go out and start a business, build it up to a certain level, because I want to take it from the point where it's making money up to the next level, because it's not very difficult, because I have enough money to expand the business. I also have enough money, $250,000, to cover my mistakes. So if I make a mistake next year, I'm not going to be in debt. That's the basic thing. And the basic thing is to take your time, and this really does work. This is not one of those pie-in-the-sky things. I'm a good example of how it works. And if you go out and talk to people that are in business, I think your friends are going to find, they're going to be surprised at the number of people that got involved in business because of our program.
And what else are you going to teach them as far as where to find a business? Where are you going to tell them to look?
Okay, most of the ones that we have in there today were all the sources that we use. I think there's 20 of them in there.
In the course?
Yeah, but at the time we put this together, we were not big in the area of Internet. And just taking one as an example, I'll give them a freebie, and that is BizBuySell, BizBuySell.com. That's a great place to start. And once you do that, you're going to find there's all sorts of other ones. But just that will keep you busy for the rest of your life. You can't buy more businesses than that. And the people that advertise there, I find are relatively easy to work with, the brokers and the sellers.
How many business brokers are there in the United States?
I don't know. I think there's 3,000 or 4,000 maybe, or 5 or 6, whatever it is.
Are they all listing their business up on that BizBuySell?
Some of them are just doing it on the local level. They have organized groups. In fact, the first group, all the business brokerage groups that you have today nationally came from a company called Certified Business Counselors, which was formed about 25 or 30 years ago. And I'm the founder, and I was the first president. So most of these groups have come from that group. They all have, as a matter of fact. The people heading those up are all people that were in that group in the beginning when I was running it. But what happens is they have their own multiple listings, like real estate brokers do. Right now in California, as an example, a lot of these now are trying to convert their local listing service that they're using for their brokers into BizBuySell. So my prediction is because BizBuySell does a good job, they have a good program for bringing in brokers also. That's going to be fine. Again, what we have today, we have more businesses out there listed by brokers, which means you have to get through them because they're going to try to qualify you, make sure you have enough money or the wherewithal. In the old days, we had fewer sources of businesses, but we had fewer brokers. We had more sellers actually selling. So what you have to do, you have to tell yourself, look, there are more brokers out there. They're going to make it more difficult for me to do it, generally. Once you find the good brokers, you're not going to have that problem. They're going to be standing in your way. But the good news is you have 100 times as many businesses available. Not that they weren't there before. It's just that you didn't have ready access. It is really easy today. And also we have financing today. We have all sorts of financing. We have all sorts of investors that want to get involved with you. The key thing is to get off your duck, spend the time, find a business, and do your homework.
Do you recommend buying through brokers or trying to go around the broker?
Well, if you can find a broker to work with, fine. But the problem you have with brokers is they qualify you. There's a lot of brokers that are deal killers. But the problem is, to be very honest, you're going to have to grit your teeth and keep going through the brokers until you find one that you get along with. As soon as you do that, they will feed you a lot of business. So I have very few brokers that I work with over the years because I find it's easier to go back to the same ones. And then also, when you're on their list, they're going to contact you just like yesterday. One of my best friends, Paul Hines, who's probably one of the best brokers in the United States, is in San Diego. He just sent me another one because he knows I'm in the business of buying companies. And this one, well, we usually have a rule that has to be $1 million, but he sent me one last year. Did $780,000. And I'm sure as I talk to Paul, if you haven't talked to him, because I just got it off the track, he'll tell me it's projecting $1 million.
So tell me, what are all the reasons that you found over the years? Why does someone sell a business? Do you find a lot of people selling the business because they're losing money?
There probably are people selling business that are losing money, but that's the ones you want to avoid. You can make more money in a good business than you can in a failing business. All these stories they talk about, some of the turnarounds are all this crap. If you take the same amount of money, it's going to cost you less money to buy a good business than the one that's going to give you a headache. Let the other people buy it. I always tell people, when you run into somebody that has a bad business that's losing money, give them big hugs. Tell them, as soon as you run out of all the good ones, the ones making a profit, you'll come back. Because you don't even want a profit. You want a profit for at least 3 years. Or try to go out and finance or bring an investor in, and you haven't had 3 years of growth or 3 years of profit. It's tough to do it. They don't trust you.
Just kind of reminisce, what are some of the most exciting businesses that you've bought over your career and some of the most profitable, if you want to share? Anything that just pops in your mind.
I have no secrets. It's interesting. If you took all the businesses I've ever owned and you were to tell me that any one of them were exciting, I would laugh. Because what normally happens when somebody comes up and asks me what I've been buying lately and I tell them, they usually give me this, oh, that's nice. They sort of like pat me on the head. I remember we were in the import business a few years ago, and I'd run into people at different trade shows, and they'd say, what are you importing? And I'd say, I'm in the housewares and giftware business. Excuse me, I say it correctly. I'd tell them first I'm in the glass business. They'd say, glass? You mean you sell like glass? They put in the big high rises. I said, no, drinking glasses and canning jars. And every time I tell them, they turn on their heel as they were saying, God, that's nice.
Boy. How boring, yeah.
Yeah, okay, but most of them lately have been manufacturing companies. To give you an idea, let's take Mexico. We started with two wooden oak furniture manufacturing plants in Zacate. We went involved and got involved in the ceramics business making dinnerware in Guadalajara. One of the big products that we hit it with was a thing called Romer Top, the red clay cooking pots that they sell at Macy's and all the big department stores. Those used to be manufactured in Germany and in Portugal. I spent 2 years going to Germany and 2 years working in Mexico to convince the company I was tied in with in Mexico to buy equipment in red clay, which we didn't have in Mexico, and convincing the Germans that the Mexicans could produce their product. Today, for a number of years now, we've had that product, but we now produce out of that plant for the whole world. We then got involved in the electronics business. I was in printed circuit boards back many years ago with IBM. So I had already been involved in making printed circuit boards and doing SMT, which is mounting components on boards, and electronic assembly. All three areas we had been involved in twice before in the U.S. We got involved in those businesses in Mexico. We were involved in the mattress business, mailboxes, etc.
What are you doing with mailboxes, etc.?
Helping with financing, right, $500,000 to get them moving ahead. Mailboxes, etc. has its own warehouse in San Diego, as a matter of fact. Everything is shipped in San Diego, and then they transport it into Mexico so that you don't have to go through the Mexican transportation system. Again, I haven't seen them in a couple of years or a few years, but the last time I saw them, they were about to take over the post office system in Mexico.
Mailbox, etc.?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then the last one we worked on, I don't want to give out the name of the company.
That's right.
The company is in Mexico City. We had 60-some% of the telephone equipment business in Mexico. Telephone, but telephone equipment, Fujitsu and Panasonic.
So it sounds like you're partial to doing business in Mexico.
No. I was trying to buy a company, a furniture company in L.A., and while I was negotiating with them, they asked me if I could help them finance what they had in Zacate, Mexico. Once I did that, the word got out in Mexico that there was a crazy American that could finance projects in Mexico. And from that, I got called to Guadalajara, and after that, Every company I was involved with, their own down there, was from the original people. They were either friends of or relatives of the original.
Just all referrals?
Everything's been referral. I never got shafted. I never had a person in Mexico ever lie to me. Greatest people in the world.
They're great people.
And I don't speak Spanish.
Just poquito. You speak Spanglish.
Probably.
So you're not teaching anymore.
No, no.
When did you stop teaching or doing the seminar stuff?
I have an old brochure. That's the only way I can remember, probably 14 or 15 years.
So you're just buying and selling?
I don't really sell. We do it in streaks. We hit so many years and I will get tired of it or bored because, you know, I keep doing the same thing. And the problem I have is I never had a hobby as a kid. So as I started getting involved in life, I found, hey, this is buying business is a lot of fun. But I had nothing else to go back to. So if you ever do get together with me or around me very much, you'll find that when we're talking about business, I'm very excited. I mean, every deal I work on is exciting. I look forward to meeting new sellers. And then going through it, it's very exciting, the negotiation part. It's exciting the first 2 months as you set controls up. But after that, they're all the same.
Yeah, I mean, business is all the same. I mean, once a business is run, you're dealing with people, you're dealing with problems, you're buying, and you're selling. That's great.
If you decide to buy going businesses, I'd be glad to help you.
Okay, I really appreciate it.
Let me tell you something. I have people that come back from the program, our seminar, every day. I get calls, I get letters, I get faxes, emails. Yeah, and I'm helping.
Yeah, I do the same thing. You know, people call me with my website, Hard to Find Seminars. People have a question, they're developing a product, he needs a headline, or what should he put on the product, the retail countertop display to make it sell, and he'll send me an idea, and I'll send them an idea back. Anyone can call me from my website and pick my brain, and usually I'll ask them if I could record the conversation, and I stick it back up on the site for all my other visitors to the site to benefit from free.
Well, I enjoy helping people. Even we were in the seminar business, they'd say, you've given us hundreds or thousands of hours of help after the class, which wasn't really covered by what I paid going through. What kind of a gift? What can we do to repay you? And I said, look, the golden rule really works. What you should do is once you succeed, go out and spend the same amount of time helping somebody else. Because it really does come back. I mean, for most of my life, I did not understand the golden rule until I started helping people. Then all of a sudden, I found it did work. And I'm not a religious person. That's not where I'm coming from. I'm just coming from one thing. You can go out and get involved in business, not rip anybody off, not have to lie to anybody, and make a very good living.
And have a fulfilling life and feel good about it. That's the bottom line.
Nothing more exciting than owning a business.
Well, let me ask you this. I'm a student of marketing, so if I was going to look for a business, one of the things I look for is a business that has, of course, a good history and who has a nice, large list of customers. And maybe a business who does advertising and is succeeding with their advertising, or maybe does direct mail selling and is succeeding that way. And then I look at their advertising, and then from my marketing education, I may be able to improve on their message in their advertising and literally double a business just through that.
Just keep in mind, just take manufacturing as an example. There's two types. One, you're working as a subcontractor. The other one, you have your own proprietary product. I would make you a bet. If you went out and looked at a business that was real, in other words, you had your own product that was your company, and you were going to market it, the thing that you would find, you have the ability to take that product through the roof. You also have control over it. You don't have to go to another company and sell it. Now, there's nothing wrong with your type company. If you go on Business by Shell right now after we get off the line and start to look these up, what I suggest is go after all companies that are priced over $1 million so you don't get into the small ones. And although you're interested in advertising or marketing related companies, just for the heck of it, go through and pull down all the ones that really appeal to you, even though they're not in your area. Because I have found over the years, if I can get people away from what they think they want to own and just get them thinking about the net profit, they end up buying something else and something they're going to be happier with. Now, everything is marketing. Now, there are pure marketing companies. Now, the good news is, with your marketing expertise, the amount of money that you will make for every dollar invested will be a hell of a lot more than it will be in manufacturing. I mean, it's sort of obscene in those service businesses. And again, down in your area, San Diego, Los Angeles, there's a lot of those companies available. And again, they come up for sale because somebody wants to retire. Somebody's been in the business for 15 years. And even if somebody tells you they're going to retire, most people in business don't retire. Why? Because it's too boring. You go out, you've made your money, you have money in the bank, you play golf, which lasts about a day, and then you want to own another company. I can truthfully say I don't have any friends that I've known in business more than a couple of years that have retired. All of them have been in business many, many years, just like I have. I have no desire to retire.
No.
I just want to keep doing this. Besides, I have tried to go to these older groups where we have a lot of older people. These are the people I have found. These aren't business owners. These are people.
You got nothing to do.
When I was growing up in industry, or even after I was out of industry, I never heard the R word, retirement. And as I did hear it, I kept thinking, the only people I ever hear talking about retirement are people that work for somebody else. And I still don't understand that. Obviously, working for somebody else isn't very gratifying. Because when you're in business for yourself, that's all you want to do.
Yeah, absolutely. So you considered, well, let me retire, and you just go crazy. You miss it.
After we sold the business in Mexico a couple of years ago, I retired for the fifth time.
And how long did that last?
About an hour. It never worked. Just like when I quit teaching seminars, everybody said I would retire because people would come up to me all the time and say, hey, Art, how's it going? I just finally said, how's the seminar business? Because that was the thing they saw. Nobody ever had a discussion with me on what else I was doing. So they'd always pat me on the head and said, that's great. Finally, when I quit teaching seminars and said I wasn't going to be teaching anymore, everybody said, he's retired. I said, I'm not retired. I'm buying companies. They said, when did you start doing that? I said, about 25 years ago. It's just that when you're in the seminar business, everybody thinks that's all you really do.
Yeah, and they don't take the time to ask. I mean, if they thought about it, they'd probably realize that you're doing what you were teaching. You're buying businesses.
It's something that you may assume, but there's a lot of people out there that teach things that don't really practice what they preach, as you know.
Are there a lot of other people teaching how to buy businesses, like courses and such out there?
Yeah, a lot of people come into the program and try it. We actually had a person from L.A. that copied our course completely. He brought in a tape recorder, which they're not supposed to do, and he came out with a course competing with us. In fact, he even took the ad that we had in the paper to put his picture in, and we had to go to court against him.
Yeah, so you went after him?
Of course.
All right.
Gotta be kidding. I used to refer to him as Darth Vader.
Darth Vader.
It's very similar to his name. But we had a lot of universities, USC, every university in the areas we were in tried to go into this business and compete with us. And they didn't succeed. They would quit after a short while. We had the Geneva Group, you know, the people down there from Orange County. They put on programs basically for sellers. They kept trying to get me to take the listings they had and get my students to buy them, which I would not do, because what happened is we had made an analysis of 50 of their businesses that they gave us, and we found they were overpriced between 2 and 300%, rather than our people wasting their time. But what happened is they got really upset with me, and they decided that they were going to go and compete with me, and they put the word out they're going to put me out of business. 6 months later, they quit and went back to what they were doing. Again, the key thing, we had a program that worked. I was very funny. And again, I'm not a comedian, it's just that I keep it light. We usually keep the room cold. They know that if they doze, they're going to freeze to death. And we give them follow-up help. I mean, how can you beat that? I mean, you say to them, look, suppose going to a university and they're studying physics, and the professor said, if you're not doing well in your career, you come back to me anytime you want for nothing. You've got to be kidding. Nobody ever does that. Well, we did it because people would come up, they'd have that look on their face. We don't know how to price the business. So when you look at our cassettes, you're going to see that we have the first pricing program ever set up mathematically for pricing businesses. In fact, all the pricing systems around the United States today are copies of ours. And I still have copyright protection, but who cares anymore?
Yeah, really.
I don't really care. But there's a lot of people using it. But at the time, we had gotten the SBA and the IRS to use it. In fact, when I was teaching, we were an IRS-approved program. The IRS agents, we have two or three in every class because it was continuing education for our program. In fact, the last 6-7 years, we were an IBM-approved program. If IBM people wanted to go to our program, the husband and wife were both paid. This was before IBM had all the layoffs. And I always asked IBM, I said, can I put that on our advertising? And they said, use it and lose it. So I got the message.
Tell me what is actually in the course. How many cassettes are in there?
12.
12, and there's some workbook material?
Yeah, there's a complete workbook. And what we did, okay, we tried in the beginning to take the class. It didn't work. What we had to do is I had to go to the studio, and for days I would talk to the wall. And the people in the studio were hysterical because they never saw anybody so animated talking to themselves, which tells you where I'm coming from.
I got you.
So we put it together, which gave us the quality we wanted. We also wanted it with such a sense that if you listen to it, it would motivate you. If you listen to it enough times, like faith financing, you don't believe you can get financing from a supplier, things like that. What we tell people to do is listen to the cassette over and over again, and eventually you'll believe it. And then you go out and try it. And that's the key to it. And what will happen is you will succeed, because I've had a chance over the years. We have all these people calling us all the time. We did for years. So we know exactly how it works, because we always ask them, how's the cassette program work? Does it really work? How long did it take you? And what it does, it gives them courage. The cassette costs you X number, $100, but if you hire a business broker, it's going to cost you $50. So you save $49,000, I forget what it was. It was an exaggeration, but what we were trying to tell them, you can do it on your own. You don't need any help. You can come back to us, but the key thing is to keep moving forward, to understand this really does work. You will have a business. Just don't get discouraged. And the other thing is, take your time, because how long is it going to take you to do it? It's going to depend on how much time you put in. How smart do you have to be? How much time are you going to put in? We have a lot of people that went through our program, I'm not going to mention names, that don't even have room temperature IQs. They weren't the brightest people in the world. The majority of the people didn't have enough money to put a deal together. How do you put the transaction together? I said, okay, how much money does it take to go out and start one? You're going to be able to buy an existing business for less money than you can starting the damn thing. So how are you going to lose? I said, well, that doesn't really work. I said, why don't you go out and try it and see if it does? And they always come back and say, my God, I can't believe this. The reason is we are telling them the truth about what's happening in business. All these other losers that they keep talking to that were in business or about to go under, they're nice people. The problem is they've done it wrong, and they pass all this crap on. In fact, even today, as I give talks around the country to different marketing groups and real estate groups, I'm always trying to tell them the stories, to give them all the examples, and have them nod their head. Isn't this true? Isn't this true? And I give them 10. Then I say, okay, everything I just told you is a lie. Not one of these things is true about business. And so what I tell them to do, look, when you're going to go out, say, I convince you should look for an existing business. Take a yellow sheet of paper and write down all the reasons you can't buy one, what you don't have. Take the yellow sheet of paper and put it in the safe deposit box or in your drawer. All the things that are going to go wrong, everything, put it on that sheet of paper. As soon as you get done, put it in the drawer. When you get your business, the first thing you do, you close. Take the thing out of the drawer, and you'll find that all the 40, 50 things you put down, none of them come true. They're all just fear. They're fear perpetrated by losers. There's all these people out there. And I've been passing this message on for years, and I said, you know, we have all these tens of thousands of people going through the class. If I keep telling them this stuff is true and this stuff isn't true, don't you think they're going to come back to me and say you're full of crap? But they haven't. The reason they haven't is it works. Well, it works, and it's true.
I have no reason to lie.
I mean, I'm trying to get them to go out and get by what they've heard. Because the reason they haven't succeeded is because they're listening to the wrong people.
Absolutely. Let me ask you this. You've got the audio tapes. Over your course in teaching, did you ever put any videotapes together? What other teaching material have you put together besides this course that you still have? Videos, manuals, booklets, anything else?
Now, we had other people teaching other classes, used to have, but over the years, I've given it back to them because they went off and taught on their own.
Are some of these people not teaching anymore?
I don't have any idea.
You have no idea. Do you have the masters to these tapes still?
I think I do.
Out of the 12 tapes within this course, you say you took out some of the irrelevant tax stuff. Out of these 12 tapes, all the tax stuff is gone, so in these 12 tapes, everything's still relevant today.
Everything is still relevant.
All the same.
Keep in mind, I still talk to people all the time. I still ask them if it's working, because when I'm on eBay and stuff, I know somebody's thinking that's what I'm trying to tell myself. Is this true? So I ask people all the time. In fact, I just sent an email back to somebody that wanted to buy the cassettes, and I'll give you an example. I'd use a real one.
Okay.
I won't give you the name or anything.
No problem.
Talking about he's working a job in the United States, and they're going to move him. Other times people will write to me and ask me if it works because they're about to lose their job. So what I basically tell them, so I've been buying business for over 40 years. I still use the same techniques I used 40 years ago. This program shows you how to blow the smoke away, which I was just talking about. That's why that came up. We offer them free help. Okay, it'll take 6 months on the average, 3 to 6 months to find, analyze, and close a deal. And what I was saying to them, the last sentence is, please do not quit your job prematurely. Delay the move or make the move and quit later. If you rush, you'll end up having to buy a business that doesn't work. So they used to be my nightmare when I was teaching. wake up during the night and some person had called me and said, I took the class, I know this is going to work, I just quit my job. Oh my God. If it happened, nobody ever told me.
Right.
It really worried me.
Well, I can definitely tell by talking to you. I mean, you're passionate about it, and it sounds like an incredible course. I mean, I'm going to get one right away. Let me ask you this. Would you be willing to do this later for my listeners? And I think it would be kind of fun. Maybe what we can do is have everything recorded like we're doing right now. You're pretty internet savvy.
I hope so.
Well, obviously, you know how to put an ad on eBay and stuff. And maybe what we can do together is go to bizbuy.cell and let's look through some listings together and kind of point out some good businesses that may look like a good business to buy and maybe potentially go through the whole process of buying it, or you would talk me through it as we're looking and what to look for.
I want to own it.
Yeah.
Okay, I would be glad to do that. In fact, even in the last couple of deals I've worked on, I basically have brought investors in. I keep 51%, usually stay 2 or 3 months, and then take myself out the backside, unless they're nervous about it. If they are, I will stay longer. Because in Mexico, I had to stay in all of them, because they didn't want to have to go to court to sue somebody. They always had me there, that big inspector. So. But any ideas you have, if I can help you with anything, I'd be glad to.
That'd be great. Well, look, I'm going to formally end this recording, and then I'm going to call you right back. But look, to all my listeners, I hope this has been helpful to you, and I'll have some information on how you can get this course, and I want to thank you for taking the time and sharing this with everybody. I mean, this has been some great stuff.
I always try to get another person, just like I always say to myself, I'm on a plane. I do a lot of flying. There's always somebody sitting next to me, and when they are, I don't ever talk to them. I just sit there. Every time somebody moves forward to talk to me on the plane, if we have 2 hours to go, even though they're a key executive of a top company, I guarantee you, every time in 2 hours, I'll have them breathing hard, thinking about owning a business.
Let me tell you, I've read somewhere or seen it somewhere, the number one dream of Americans or of people is, number one, owning their own house, and number two, owning their own business.
Well, I think everybody would want to own their own business if they didn't hear all this crap. Why would you want to have a job working for somebody else, making X number of dollars, when you could run the thing and make a hell of a lot more and have less stress?
Yeah, what people need is they need someone like you. They need direction, someone to show them how, someone to hold them by the hand, and someone to encourage them and give them the confidence and tell them that it can be done if they just give it a try. 30, 40, 50 years of experience is worth millions.
I'm on the outskirts of everything because all I do is buy companies. I don't meet a lot of people. I'm not running up and down the street. And so when I hear these buzzwords, a lot of times I don't even know what the hell they mean. Like hands-on, I thought it was what I was doing, but I guess I'm not hands-on.
They're thinking if you own the restaurant, that you're in the restaurant 7 days a week.
I hope you've enjoyed this interview with Art Hamill. For more information on Art Hamill and his exclusive business buying system, go to Google and type in Art Hamill interview or Art Hamill business buying system. Thanks for listening.